I have a new term called youth building, not anti-aging. It's a new concept, and it's something that we really need to look at for future. Understanding true health is understanding youth building. So I have a concept called inclusive health. It's a new science of youth, and it tries to get you to where you were when you were 2 years old, when you used to play in the mud, you took more risks, you acted silly, maybe you didn't stay out all night, but at least you slept well. Besides the emotional part of it, you certainly had other attributes. Of course, you healed faster, you could run faster, things like that. And if we could return to our youth, I think it would make a tremendous change in our overall attitude and our overall health. So if we look at 30 years of technological evolution, what's happened is certainly new technology, new drugs, new medicines, new treatments, new therapies, all kinds of wonderful new technology. Yet, as we look today and beyond, what we're seeing more and more chronic disease, more and more type 2 diabetes, more and more depression, more and more metabolic syndrome. And though we may be living a little bit longer, we're living in more and more discomfort, requiring more and more medication and more therapy. And I feel the reason for this is twofold. Number one, we kind of spot treat people. We see people as a diabetic patient, not as a patient with diabetes. An acne patient, not a patient with acne. So we need to look at the whole person, and that is, in a sense, what the concept is, that we need to look at everybody. That's an inclusive approach. But probably even more important is youth building, trying to get every cell in the body as healthy as possible. We have to look at the aging process as well as the disease process. That combination is what's going to make the difference. About 20 years ago, the word was complementary medicine. So you use cosmeceuticals like Retin A, glycolic acid products. You may have gone for more and more facials and massage and things like that to think about the idea that you could take care of yourself with traditional medicine and complement it with other things. Recently, the word has become integrative medicine, where we integrate various medications along with traditional medicine, so they're sort of on equal par. And in the sense of skincare, we've begun to understand that internal skincare can be as important as topical skincare. What you eat can affect your skin just as much as what you apply to your face. We did a study several years ago with 73 female panelists ranging in age from 39 to 56, and these subjects showed visible signs of aging. We gave them the B vitamins, the zinc, the manganese, the copper, the amino acids, various antioxidants. And what we ended up finding that within, and this is with just taking supplements, not using anything other than Dove soap on their face from the beginning to the end, and within 5 weeks, taking two tablets twice a day of these supplements, their lines and wrinkles were reduced by 34%. This was statistically significant. And what we found is that what you ate can significantly modify collagen production and elasticity. While we measured this only in your skin, obviously this was affecting the rest of your body as well. We did another study soon after that, with a supplement to measure acne. And we took subjects between 20 and 45. These patients actually experienced grade 2 inflammatory acne and also non-inflammatory. They were in basically good health, and they were willing to refrain from the use of any facial treatment products during the duration of the study. And this was, again, using just simple soap. And here again, we were able to define that there was a 36% reduction in acne lesions in 3 weeks and 55 in 6 weeks. This is with no topical products. The idea is, even when we look at skin, what we eat can make a significant difference in what we have. We did another study more recently with analysts between the age of 30 and 60 who had cellulite. They were basically in good health with no medical history. They were willing to maintain a normal diet, normal exercise routine for the duration of the study. So we didn't want them to change any of their habits. And here again, we were able to demonstrate in 8 weeks by taking these tablets that they could have a 47% improvement in stretch marks. So the word inclusive health is the new term that I would like to use instead of integrative health. Inclusive basically is understanding that everything is connected. So when we see a patient with wrinkles, they may have sun damage, they may have less hair in some places and more hair in others, they have poorer memory, they have lack of sleep, lack of energy, poor digestion, poor circulation, chronic disease, and more. So if we just look at one aspect of the body, if we just look at the heart or just the liver, we're really ignoring the whole patient because every cell ultimately is connected. I always ask my patients, if you have a pain in your toe, where does that pain come from? Well, obviously it comes from the brain because that's where the nerves are. And then when you look a little deeper, what does that mean? That means every cell from your brain to your toe has to be connected and has to be working in perfect order. Otherwise, your pain will be increased or you'll have some function that's abnormal. So the idea, again, we need to look at the whole person. It's very critical. Even if we look at our skin, we see that our skin has blood vessels, has connective tissue in nerves and blood vessels, and even the dermis of the skin. So it is connected in both directions with every single system in our body. And if we have a problem with our endocrine system, it's going to affect our skin. And if our skin is totally damaged, we're exposed to the environment too much, we have too much free radical damage on the surface of our skin, it's going to penetrate into the circulation, which again is going to damage every other part of the body. So it's a two-way street. When we look at any cell in our body, any organ in our body, not only is it affecting that, but it's also affecting the rest of the body as well. We cannot look at the reproductive system in isolation. We can't look at the nervous system in isolation because ultimately it is connected, and any damage, any injury to it is ultimately going to affect the whole body. Now, let's look at the body as if it was a factory. And we know the concept of apoptosis, where our cells begin to die and new ones are formed. Well, truly, within about 3 months, you have all new cells in your body. Our skin turns over about once a month. Our stomach lining renews every 5 days. Our liver every 6 weeks. And our skeletal system about every 3 months. Our connective tissue is roughly 2 months. So what we need to do on a daily basis is supply our body with the right raw materials for it to function at its optimal level so that every cell in the body can utilize those right raw materials to make the very best cell that it can make. And also, we need to minimize the damage that's occurring to those cells by minimizing free radicals, inflammation, and even stress. So as the body ages, it requires an increased quantity of these raw materials, and we also need a decrease in the damage that occurs to it to maintain those cells. We need to minimize stress. We need to minimize free radicals. We need to minimize inflammation when we can. And the concept of the inclusive health is basically a three-pronged approach. We need to take care of our largest organ, which could make up to 15 to 16% of our body weight. That's our skin. Making sure we have the best skin possible and act as a barrier to protect us from environmental damage. Number two, we need to eat the best foods so we give our nutrients to our cells to make them as healthy as possible. And finally, emotional self-care. What we think of as day-to-day activity, which is our culture. Our culture is more and more stressful. We're constantly under stress. There's more and more traffic as we go from here to there. More and more lines, more and more procedures to follow, more and more things to do every single day. And that puts a lot of pressure on us, along with the average emotional stress that occurs from job losses and other things that are beginning to happen on a regular basis. So again, looking at inclusive health as the new science, a new science of looking at overall health and building youth. What we need to do is build youth along with addressing the damage that's occurred to ourselves. We need to build youth by getting a stronger immune function so we have a better inflammatory response to deal with damage. We need to have the ability to change. We need to heal more quickly. We need to have more belly laughs and more. So even more than what I'm saying here or what I'm showing you here is thinking of what you did when you were young, when you were a year old. You would fall 1,000 times before you actually learned to walk because you didn't know that you couldn't walk. Now, if we fall a few times, chances are we'll begin to use a crutch. We'll begin to use a cane. And we're probably going to minimize our ability. When we were younger, we stood up tall and we could see our whole environment. We used to get excited about everything. We saw beauty every day. And as we get older, our life becomes smaller and smaller. We see less and less. Think about a young person walking around. Their head is up tall. They're looking all over the place. As people get older, their head begins to sink down and begin to just look at their toes. They're just seeing their feet. They're not seeing the whole room. They're not seeing their whole environment. When we get older, we're not willing to take a risk. We become risk averse. We begin to limit our opportunities. We don't go to a new place here and there just to see what it's like. We tend to go to the same old place because we know that that is okay, but we don't know that other places may be even better. So building youth is very important emotionally. Now, we all know there are many, many theories of aging, over 300 different theories of aging. But when we look at inclusive health, it's based on the science of cellular water, the unifying theory of aging, disease, obesity, stress, anything that you may think of that could be harmful, is that our cells contain less and less water. We are born with 75% water, and ultimately when we die, we have zero water. And with every decade of life, there's a decrease in our total body water. So we go from an area of full hydration to dehydration over time. So the secret, again, is to build strong cellular membranes so that they can maintain the water. I always tell people that, if I gave you a bunch of coins and you had a hole in your pocket, you wouldn't have that many holes and you wouldn't have that many coins at the end of the day. Well, if you sew up that hole in your pocket, then all the coins will stay. And here it again, an important attribute of our cells is to have strong cell membranes, so that they retain the water that you consume. Unfortunately, the way life is today, we go from youth and a baby bottle to various other ways that we get our hydration. And unfortunately, none of those are necessarily appropriate for living a healthier, happier life. So let's look at every cell in our body. When our cells are young and healthy, they have a very strong cell membrane. As we age, our cell membranes become thinner and weaker and more sensitive to damage. As it becomes more sensitive to damage, it begins to leak water and obviously can't function as well. I like to think of cells as tires. You have a brand new tire and you go over tax, nothing happens. As you have 40, 50, 60,000 miles on that tire, the rubber is thinner and thinner. If you go over a tack, you might not get a real blowout, but your tire will begin to leak air. As it leaks air, it can't function as well. You might pump in a lot of air at the gas station, drive 20 miles or 30 miles, and before you know it, it's almost flat again. Not really flat, it's still functioning, but not at the level it did when it was brand new. And if you could do something to that tire, you would do a retread. You would put extra rubber to help those the rubber and fill in the holes. So now it becomes more resistant to the damage. Another way to look at that cell is if you look at that damaged cell membrane leaking out air in the tire, it's going to put more stress on the engine. So when our cells look like that, they put more stress on our heart because they have less water. They can't function so well. And less and more damage on the transmission for a tire, but more damage on our brain. So understanding this simple process of going from hydration to dehydration is critical. And understanding the major concept here is the cell membrane. If we have a strong cell membrane, certainly we can make a dramatic improvement in every aspect of our life. We know that your body needs water. Your body replaces all the cells in the skeleton, as I said before, every 3 months. But your bones are 22% water. The average heart pumps 48 million gallons of blood in a lifetime. Your blood is basically 80% water. There are 600 muscles in the body, and muscles are over 70% water. Your lungs are 90% water. Your brain is 73% water. In total, an average male has about 60% water. An average female is about 50% water. We need water for homeostasis. Cellular water homeostasis is critical to every system in our body. It regulates our core body temperature, our digestion, our renal gland activity, neuromodulation, immune function, blood flow, protein synthesis, anabolic, catabolic ratios. All of those are really, really critical aspects. Now, we do know there are many disruptors to our body and how they begin to leak water. Free radicals and their metabolic reaction products affect both cell membrane integrity and the general homeostatic balance of tissue. The generation of reactive oxygen species can be triggered by a number of factors, including exposure to radiation, climate extremes, hypoxia, inflammation, aging, and stress. Another way to look at our cellular water is to look at how over time our body begins to decrease its intracellular water. With every decade of life, there tends to be a slight decrease in intracellular water and also total body water. Now, if you see here in the dark blue, you have the male, and the striped is the female. And the reason for that is that females, genetically, have a higher percentage of their body as fat, and men have a higher percentage than women of muscle. Muscle, again, is 70% water or more. Fat is 10% water. And this is a critical issue. When we look at the difference between men and women and various attributes, men tend to be able to detoxify toxins much more readily. So if I see a woman and a man drinking exactly the same amount of alcohol, the same weight, same age, same height, everything equal other than one's a male and the other is a female, the female will have a higher blood alcohol level. because she's less capable of detoxifying that alcohol because her cells do not have adequate water by comparison. The same thing with salt intake. A man and a woman will go to a restaurant, eat the same food. Generally, restaurant food is a little bit salty. And when you think about that, what begins to happen? The woman will be more likely to be bloated and be uncomfortable and maybe have puffy eyelids, and the man is not. Why? Salt requires 23 grams of water to eliminate every 1 gram of salt. Again, the same issue. And, you know, when I look at my wife and she complains about, boy, I really feel stuffed. Basically, I think it isn't really the word stuffed. It should be bloat. And that bloat is because of the salt intake that's occurred. Looking at that is an interesting way of understanding how women differ from men in many ways. But certainly, just based on water, there's a unique difference. We actually did an interesting study to measure intracellular water. And what we did is we took some panelists and we asked them to take supplements that contained antioxidants, anti-inflammatories, amino acids, lipids, B vitamins, trace minerals on a regular basis every day, and basically continue everything that they had done. What we wanted to do was see what attributes of their overall health improved as far as the relationship with intracellular water. So those that increased intracellular water over a 12-week period of time, and remember, again, in 12 weeks, you're a whole new person. What we saw is many of these people had hair that was growing faster and actually more shiny. Their nails felt stronger. Their skin was smoother and hydrated. They fell asleep more easily. We did nothing else. We told them to do everything they had been doing, and we had panelists that actually were on no medication and had no allergies. So what was happening to them is based only on modifying their nutrition. They woke up feeling refreshed. Their body felt more energized. They maintain their current body shape. What they told us was, you know, my clothes fit better. I used to be real tight. Now they feel better. They had better digestion. And here what we measured was basically bowel movements. So we looked at the number of bowel movements that they had. They tended to increase the number. They felt much better physically and emotionally. So, in other words, they were less constipated, they were sleeping better, they were happier, slept better. A lot of attributes of overall health tended to be associated with an increase in intracellular water. Since then, we've done programs where we have measured hundreds of patients and put them on what I call an inclusive health program. The inclusive health program is essentially a 12-week program, although it needs to be continued on constantly. And what we see here, what we do here is look at them in three ways. Look at their skin using a skin analyzer that we call the Clarity Pro, that is called the Clarity Pro. So we look at every aspect of their skin and try to improve it by using topical care, as well as maybe doing some facials, very superficial chemical peels, or just doing some facials and topical care. We then looked at their body composition, and we measured their intracellular water, their total body water, their body fat, a lot of attributes that we wanted to measure to see where the start was and where the end was. And finally, ways to diminish their overall stress. I'll be talking about that a little bit later on in this class, but essentially what we have found that over time, because of our culture being so stressful, people tended to be more and more likely to be perfectionistic. So we have many more emails to answer. We have to get to work sooner. We have all kinds of family issues to deal with, more and more stress in many, many ways. And trying to do everything perfectly tends to lead to essentially feeling incapable. I tell people, be imperfect, live longer. Perfectionism leads to pessimism because you begin to feel inadequate. You don't feel that you're as good as the next person who's answered every single thing on their emails, all 700 emails that day. So those are attributes that are important. And the idea of a little bit of physical contact is really helpful. Getting the facial or massage is really helpful. But beyond that, we give them some words of wisdom, such as, why have a bad day when you can choose to have a good day? Be imperfect, live longer. Give yourself permission to be happy. Give yourself permission to say no or yes, depending on the situation. Many words like that seem to have an impact on our patients. In any event, what was very interesting is when we looked at these people, what we saw, again, there, and by the way, we gave them supplements that contained, again, the whole concept, which I'll be speaking about a little bit later, essentially antioxidants, B vitamins, trace minerals, a one-a-day concept, amino acids, lipids, the good lipids. And so they took that on a daily basis, along with trying to modify their nutrition. So here, what we saw was we saw an intracellular water increase in every single one of these patients who continued on the program for the full 12 weeks. Their fat-free mass increased. Their body fat obviously decreased. We call it a MIHI index. This is an index where we look at the three attributes of their body. They're topical, they're internal, and emotional. And do a program and determine how they increase or decrease, and every one of them again increased, which means that their skin was better, their body composition improved, and their stress level decreased. Many of them had weight loss. I would say 95% or more experienced weight loss. What was interesting again with weight loss was shoe size decreased in some of them. In many of them, their wrist size decreased. The neck, waist, and hip size decreased. They had an increase in their bicep muscles. And again, here, they were doing just what they were doing before. They didn't necessarily go to do any more exercise. Blood pressure decreased in virtually everyone. Their cholesterol improved. The HDL improved. Their eyes were more hydrated. We could go on and on. They were not affected by the flu season. They had less colds. Their moods improved. Their coping skills improved. They were now becoming more youthful, taking more risks, broadening their relationships, improving their immune system, again, with less colds, waking up with more energy, better mental acuity. Many of them said their brain fog was gone. Those who had hypoglycemia symptoms improved, joints improved, the constipation decreased. So many attributes of overall health improved. And again, all of this was without giving them specific medicine. What we were doing was attracting the cells to make them younger and younger, as well as making every aspect of their body healthy, looking at an inclusive approach, looking at the whole person, and not focusing on their specific problems, whether it was scoliosis, sciatica, eczema, hypertension, whatever it was, every aspect of their health tended to be improved during this time. So let's see, look at the skin first. So typically, when we look at the skin, the water level in the stratum corneum, the top layer of the skin, is less. It's only 15%, whereas the water way down at the basal layer is closer to 75%. And when you think of that, as we get older and older, that stratum corneum becomes drier and drier. As it becomes drier and drier, it becomes more porous, allowing free radical damage to penetrate through the stratum corneum into the living epidermis and ultimately to the rest of the body. If you think of the skin and a barrier function, we look at older or damaged skin, that stratum corneum is rough and hard. And I like to use analogies. Think of the analogy of a shingle roof that is 30 years old. Many shingles have fallen off. They're not really attached to each other. Basically holes in the roof. When it rains, the rain comes in, the snow comes in, the heat escapes, the air conditioning escapes. So we really have a very porous house, and damage coming in and reducing essentially hydration out. So what would you do to the skin? You would probably try to put glue on those shingles, and you would minimize damage by putting something like Scotchgard on the surface. What we need to do with our skin is actually improve the barrier function of the skin, surround that stratum corneum with structural lipids. These lipids are both hydrophilic, like hyaluronic acid, and hydrophobic, like ceramides. So adding those agents to surround the stratum corneum acts essentially as if it was a magnet, attaching each one closer to the other and improving the barrier function of the skin. So every one of the patients that we spoke about had products that contained antioxidants, anti-inflammatories to minimize damage to the skin, and those structural lipids to improve the barrier of the skin. So it was very important to do that at a very minimum, of course, using sunscreens and treatment products and things like that that improve their overall skin was important. But the barrier function was probably the most critical element. Now, again, looking at the cell themselves, every single cell in the body, if you recall, the cell membranes are bilobed. They're thicker when we're young, get thinner over time, and the thinner they are, the more likely they are to begin to lose water. The composition of the cell membrane primarily is of lipids and protein. Three classes of amphipathic lipids: phospholipids, glycolipids, and steroids. Carbohydrates in the membrane are primarily glycoproteins, so amino acids. And the cell membrane acts as a capacitor, and its integrity can be measured by measuring reactants. The higher the reactants, the higher the phase angle, generally, the more intact the cell membrane is. And that may be a true measure of overall health. That may be a major biomarker of overall health. The higher the phase angle, the more likely that the cell membranes are intact, and the less likely they are to leak water, and the healthier you're younger, less stress you have. So the lipid membrane is on the surface, and the amino acids are in the middle. The lipid is hydrophobic, and the amino acids are hydrophilic. There are ways to attract water into these cells. One was an aquaporin pump system, which pumps water in from the connective tissue. And the other is osmolytes, osmotic pressure amino acids, that modify or modulate intracellular water. The membrane theory of aging is very important, looking at every single cell in the body. Now, whether it's free radical damage, whether it's stress, whether it's inflammatory process, there begins to be damage to that cell membrane. When that happens, the PK of the cell membrane decreases. The intracellular potassium content increases. The cell colloidal system becomes more condensed. All enzyme activities begin to decrease. free radical damage defense becomes insufficient, RNA and protein turnover decreases, the speed of elimination of damaged components decreases, and you get waste accumulation or lipofuscin. But the end result of all of that is the loss of cellular water. So again, as you begin to get older, if you're nothing else, your free radical defense is damaged and you're more susceptible to chronic disease and other issues. But we damage our cell membranes not just with age, with inflammation, with stress, with free radical damage, with microbes. All of those elements can make a big difference. So water loss is the final common pathway of disease and aging. So let's look at the processes of regulating intracellular water. Again, osmosis, attracting water through osmotic pressure, aquaporins, a pump system, and finding agents that are cell strengtheners. The osmolite system in our body is a passive transport with specific solutes that across the cell membrane. Balances the osmotic pressure on either side of the cell membrane and generally localized in the tissue that do not have direct access to water stores. So there are some cells that aren't directly connected with connective tissue, and they need to attract water by the interstitial fluid system. The three major osmolites that we have are betaines. They're found mostly in beets, spinach, broccoli, foods like that, myo-inositol, which come from beans, nuts, and fruit, and taurine, which come from eggs, fish, meat, and milk. So these are foods that help our body develop more of this osmotic pressure to modulate the intracellular water. Betaine actually is are normal molecules containing both anionic and cationic function groups. And again, the dietary source of betaine include beets, spinach, and broccoli. Myo-inositol is a precursor of phosphorylated secondary messenger known to regulate growth and differentiation through calcium modulation. It's found, again, in numerous fruits like nuts, beans, fruit, and it is transported via the myo-inositol sodium transport SMIT system. Taurine is a derivative of sulfur-containing amino acid cysteine and one of the few known naturally occurring sulfonic acids. Taurine appears to play a role in membrane stabilization, neuromodulation, wound healing, and reducing oxidative damage, along with everything else. As far as it being an osmolite. It's found in eggs, fish, meat, milk, also found in some plant foods like seaweed, but present in very low constant levels. It's highly present in seafood such as clams, squid, octopus, and oysters. And osmolites basically maintain critical water balance, maintain hydration, promote osmosis, and maintain critical water balance. The aquaporin system is a system of highly specialized pores that are integrated into the cell membrane. To date, 13 different aquaporins have been discovered, and each is a protein structure as a channel that allows a specific type of molecule to pass. So water movement through a narrow, selectively filter of the aquaporin channel, as you can see in this picture. The aquaporin system, unlike the slow passive movement of osmosis, allows cells and therefore tissue to make a rapid active adjustment to water balance, acting as a pump. Aquaporin system tends to be located at an area of the cell which is close to connective tissue, so it attracts from the connective tissue, which is a reservoir of water. When we look at connective tissue, predominantly acellular, but here, what begins to happen is it's predominantly collagen. There is a cell that produces the collagen called the fibroblast. And again, the cell works like any other cell. But the collagen requires amino acids antioxidants, B vitamins, trace minerals, things like that, along with glycosaminoglycans to grow. When we're young and healthy, we have very strong connective tissue, tendons, ligaments, blood vessels, nerves. As time goes on, they become weaker and weaker and more likely to be thinner, more likely to rupture, more likely in the blood vessel to leak water and not be able to function as well, getting more edema. So to encourage connective tissue regeneration, glucosamine is an excellent prominent precursor in the biochemical synthesis of glycosylated proteins and lipids. We need the osmolytes for better penetration of fluids into the fibroblast. And so ideally taking at least 1,200 milligrams of glucosamine sulfate or glucosamine hydrochloride every single day will be helpful in encouraging synthesis. Now, the picture of health is a way that I encourage eating. I say before there was medicine, there was food. We need to eat our water instead of drinking it. In this picture, at the base, obviously, is what we eat the most of, which would be raw fruits and vegetables. The reason for that is that raw fruits and vegetables contain the best water. It's in the structure. It's in the structure of the fruit and the vegetable, so it's gradually released, unlike water, which penetrates right through the cell and into the toilet. It helps with free radical damage, has a lot of phytonutrients. It acts as roughage to eliminate fat. It makes your body alkaline, resistant to cancer and bone loss. And finally, it's a prebiotic. Your own body digests the cellulose, and that's their food. Whole grains, to me, act as glycosaminoglycans. And besides all of the other benefits they have, they help build connective tissue. If you're not taking any supplement, eating more whole grains will encourage more connective tissue. The proteins that I like, remember the cell membrane are made out of certain amino acids. I like embryonic foods, eggs, beans, and seeds. Think of an egg. A chicken sits on it, out comes an egg. So it contains all the nutrients for everything. If nothing else, they contain large levels of lecithin, which is a major component of the cell membrane. Seeds and beans, the same thing. You eat a seed or a bean, the seed or bean planted in the earth will grow a tree or some sort of vegetable. This is not a vegetarian diet, but it's predominantly plant-based. The good fats, obviously olive oil, flaxseed oil, walnuts are excellent source of omegas. So I tell my patients that chances are they're not going to be able to eat this way every single day, but they should take the supplements. And the supplements, again, the antioxidants, all the other phytonutrients, the glucosamine, the amino acids, and the good lipids should be taken on a regular daily basis. And what makes diets difficult is that you have to stick to them entirely. I felt that my patients, if they just do 80% of the time, eat this way, and a few times they fall off the wagon, it's okay. So drinking water is okay, but eating your water is better. So this is sort of the way I like to have my patients eat. And I think when I see that happen, a lot of attributes of their overall health really improve. Now, again, cultural stress. We have cell phones, wireless internet, handheld computers. We're 24/7 people working longer hours. We have our BlackBerry or our iPhone next to us in our bed. Rush hour starts earlier and earlier, ends later and later, so we're always in traffic. Nearly half of working mothers are heavily stressed every day because they're not only working in their job, they have their family to deal with. More and more stress in the family. We're expecting more and more from our children. We're more and more isolated. We have no time for real friends. The average person used to have 3 close friends in 1985. Now they only have 2 close friends. because we're on Facebook, we don't have time to physically have contact with our friends. Isolation is really difficult. So our culture is so much stressful. And when we have that stress, it really damages our cell membranes. The neuropeptides from that stress damage the cell membranes, causing their damage and causing them to leak more water, and we become less efficient. So I have some sayings again to address cultural stress. We do know isolation can be a self-imposed prison. The worst thing we can do to a jail person is to put them in isolation, but we put ourselves in isolation because we're so stressed, we have no time. We need to answer all of those emails, answer all the cell phone messages, deal with all of the things we have to do. My recommendation to my patients is, even in disaster, look for the good. Even if there's terrible traffic and it's really late, at least drive carefully, listen to good music or whatever makes you happy. Reduce your stress level. You have no control over the traffic. Just deal with making yourself happy during that time. Reduce internet isolation. You'll sleep better. Don't be on that cell phone all the time. Cultural stress also leads to what I call the standard American diet, which is really sad. We become overfed but underhydrated. All of the fast foods tend to have less hydration. Why is that? We have no time for lunch. We have no time for breakfast. So we're eating our latte and our muffin or our bagel in the morning, and that increases our sugar level and brings us right down. At lunch, we're having fast food. And even at dinner, we have food that's prepared, probably a lot of salt and fat. So I tell people equal parts of vegetables and vegging out keeps the doctor away. So to take care of ourselves, we need better nutrition, we need more exercise. We also, more importantly, need to treat ourselves as royalty instead of poverty. We need to reframe and rewrite the negatives in our life. Even our teams are very stressed out. So I'd like to show you an example of some of my patients that I've seen. This is a 48-year-old director. She's single. She has hormonal breakouts. She has health concerns regarding her weight. She's not consistent about any of her workout regimens. She has high blood pressure. She's constantly fatigued. She can't sleep well. She has polycystic kidney disease, and she's asthmatic. We'll put her on a program initially for only 10 weeks, but again, kept her on a program for about 5 months. What we saw was her intracellular water went up from 21.3 to 21.7, which is a really nice increase in 10 weeks. But as she stayed on the program, it went all the way up to 25.6%. Very important. And her body fat, as a consequence of that, tended to go down. Again, body fat is associated with intracellular water, meaning that the more intracellular water you have, generally the more muscle you have and the less fat. So she went from 43 pounds of fat to 33 pounds of fat. Her weight went down from 213 all the way down to 180. Again, she was not on a diet. She was taking the supplements. We recommended that she eat from the picture of health. We made sure she had better skin care using the right topical products, and we tried to minimize her stress level. Here you can see how we look at her skin and how it's improved in many aspects. But what was really important is looking at her blood pressure, significant improvement. She decreased her BMI from 33.44 to 28.1. She started at 91.7 pounds of fat and is now down to 58.8 pounds of fat, a total loss of 33 pounds of fat. So she's lost a lot of weight, but more important, she's lost a lot of fat. Her asthmatic condition improved, her blood pressure, as you can see, improved. She only uses her medication before exercise instead of daily now. But look at her dress size, went from an 18 to a 10, and all of those measurements have improved as far as her wrist and her biceps and hips and waist. Her clothes size are so much better, she looks so much better. She has less inflamed lesions. Her skin is more hydrated. She's been making healthier food choices. She's learning to enjoy her exercise. And again, her attributes of improvement in her emotions, her morning energy is much better. She feels that she's in her ideal weight. She's happy with her appearance. She's managing stress much better, and she's beginning to do some exercise and sleeping better. All of those attributes are associated with reducing the aging process by looking at every cell in her body and making sure every cell in her body contains more intracellular water, and she is much more happy and has many good attributes. This is another patient, again, risk of coronary heart disease, no exercise on a program. You can see her intracellular water improved, her weight decreased, her body fat improved, all attributes of her overall health improved. Her blood pressure went way down. She lost 8.5 pounds. That's only in 10 weeks, not being on a diet. Another person here is a realtor, divorced. She has a lot of sun damage. She has problems with overall health. She had a hysterectomy. Again, a very similar footprint, increase in intracellular water associated with weight loss and a decrease in body fat, better skin, better blood pressure, better mood, doing better in all aspects of her overall health. This is an attorney, a male, low energy, no exercise, sun damage, poor nutrition, cholesterol, taking drugs every day for aches, metabolic syndrome. Put on the program, increase intracellular water, weight loss, body fat decreases, blood pressure improves. His neck size went from a 17 to a 16, his waist from a 41 to a 36. But he's eating better, he's taking more steps, taking more personal time with his wife, lost weight, taking less of the ibuprofen, decreased blood pressure, improved energy and everything else. All of these patients are just examples of what happens. The concept being that on the one hand, they look better, so they feel better about themselves. They're eating better, they're taking their nutrition, their cell membranes are stronger and healthier, and they contain more intracellular water. But probably as important, minimizing their stress. The stress level is diminished by a combination of factors. Number one, the fact that they look better makes them feel better, that they're eating better, their brain functions a little bit better based on the nutrition, that some of it is brain food, as well as every cell in their body. But the stress level is also diminished by getting an occasional massage or facial, reducing their stress, and taking some mantras, taking some of the words of wisdom and making sure that they feel more important to themselves. So patients that come in, they have their inspirations and they take it home. And the first lady here is, beware of creating your own stress. That was the thing that was addressing her. She felt that she was, and she took that home. She put that in the kitchen. So every time she walked in, she would remember not to create her own stress. When you become the most important person to yourself, your accomplishments will amaze you. We always look to other people. Am I good enough for you? Well, you have to be good enough to yourself. That's much more important. Be brave enough to make difficult decisions. You know what those decisions have to be, but it's very hard to make them because you might be concerned about stress. There's a difference between having fun and being happy, understanding what happiness really is. Now, I wrote a book called The Water Secret. A lot of the elements that I've been talking about are in that book. And I actually have hope for the future. This is a piece of art that I did. It's called Hope, and I donated it to the City of Hope. Because I believe if we understand this concept of youth building, of inclusive health, that we can make significant changes in our life, be happier, healthier, live a happier, more fulfilling life with less stress and less chronic disease. Now, I know in the future there will be some sort of drugs that will come out, some sort of medication, some sort of treatment, some stem cell, something that's going to make every one of us live longer. But even with that, I think the best is yet to come, because if we begin to understand this inclusive health, understand that every cell in our body is connected, understand that we need to remember the way we were when we were young, to be able to laugh so hard our belly hurt, to look at everything with beauty, to expose ourselves to opportunities. We have unlimited possibilities if we just expose ourselves, if we think about it. We look at life in a bigger way, our challenges will be diminished so much. And so this, again, this philosophy, the concept of inclusive health, is a three-pronged approach. It's very important to maintain really good skin health, using products that contain antioxidants and anti-inflammatories on the surface of the skin, along with the attributes of overall skin health, making your barrier function as healthy as possible with these structural lipids, the hyaluronic acid, the ceramides, agents that surround the top layer of our skin and reduce the potential damage. And again, your skin is connected to every part of your body. We damage our skin, we're ultimately damaging everything else. Eating properly based on the picture of health. When we look at every single cell in our body, if we can maintain a very strong cell membrane, then we can make our cells younger and healthier. The big difference between a young person and an older person's cells is that the cell membrane was thicker, stronger, and resistant to damage when we were younger and healthier. So building youth in every cell means building a stronger cell membrane, eating foods that attract water to the cell, raw fruits and vegetables, amino acids and lipids in appropriate amounts, especially the osmolites to help attract water to the skin, to the cell, are very, very important. And finally, maybe the most important, is understanding culture is causing us to have more and more stress, feeling the stress even though we don't know it. Interesting statistic, a high number of people going to the emergency room with heart disease actually have been in stop-and-go traffic within an hour of that time. So we don't think about the stress that we have with stop-and-go traffic, but we see it sometimes. When somebody cuts us off, all of a sudden, we feel something. Well, that's stress, and that's damaging every cell in our body. As a consequence of all the stress that we have, what begins to happen is we tend to feel less and less empowered. We feel less and less capable of making our own decisions. We feel less and less capable, period. And it's important to remember you are an important person. Remember that you need to think of yourself as royalty, not poverty. Try to reduce isolation. Join a club. Join a group. Maintain friendships where you have literally contact with other people. So my hope for the future is that everybody understands inclusive health, understands returning to your youth is important to live a happier, healthier, more fulfilling life.